I feel like also because there's a lack of education, like people have gone generations, so much generations without being properly informed about mental health being and being just as important as your physical health as well. Mm-hmm. The views expressed in this podcast do not represent the views of the Organization of American States, its Secretary General, or its member states. Keep listening to find out more in this episode.
Welcome to The Zone. We would like to remind you that this is a podcast that serves as a platform for constructive dialogue among those of us who live in the adjacency zone on relevant issues with a local perspective. Represented by young people from Belize and Guatemala, under the coordination of the Organization of American State Office in Adjacency Zone, and with the support of the Spanish Agency for International Development Corporation. In today's episode, we will learn a bit more about mental health and why it should be considered a human right.
We hope that this topic brings much needed awareness to our listeners and in our communities, since many people find themselves being affected by what is often described as one of the most neglected health issues. For starters, the World Health Organization defines health as a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely an absence of disease or infirmity.
We can already start to wrap our minds around this concept of mental health. According to the United States Center of Disease Control and Prevention, mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act, as if it determines how we handle stress, relate to others, and also make healthy decisions.
Thanks so much for sharing that definition, Hannah. And I must add that mental health is important for every stage of life, from childhood through adulthood.
Yeah, Azer, I definitely agree with you. And I think that especially growing up as children, we experience this a lot because we experience bullying, we experience things that affect us mentally. And we believe that sometimes these things are normal, but we also have to take into consideration how it affects everyone because we're all so different. And it could affect us very much differently based on where we grew up, our childhood, where parents were, the environments that we lived in and all that. So I think that's very important.
It's something that plays a key role throughout every stage of your life. Like you mentioned, bullying was a excellent example. I know that me personally, a lot of people get bullied, you know, throughout their childhood. And I know for me personally, a lot of things bullies would say would become like this life-shaping thing, you know, even though we don't want it to, it does. And I think it's very important to acknowledge and sort of see how from a very young stage this can affect who you become and how the life paths your life really takes, really.
Yeah, and I hear you 100%, because what that reminds me of is just like you think that it doesn't affect you, and as much as we don't talk about it, the more we grow up, we say, oh wow, like that quote-unquote bully was right, and we start to believe that, we process that, and that becomes who we are. Because as much as we don't want to believe it, that's a thing that we constantly hear and we're constantly told, right?
And the thing is, I feel like also subconsciously in the back of your mind, it also becomes like in place there. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot for a person to really step back and also like acknowledge, oh wait, this is not how things are supposed to be. You know, I have control over what my mind perceives.
Yeah, because like you mentioned, it's like it becomes subconscious, right? It's like, one, we don't share these things that we're told with others. Like, it's a stigma. One, because it's not really talked about. People don't really believe that mental health is an issue. And also, two, it's a patriarchy. So we feel like we shouldn't go to therapy. We shouldn't go to counseling because you know better. You should know better. Why do you need that, right? It's definitely like we look at generations and generations of people in life where they grew up with a totally different background, with totally different beliefs. So now when we think about mental health, it's not something that they're accustomed to or that they fully believe in or agree with.
Mm-hmm. I like what you brought up with the patriarchal lifestyle. I feel like that's also a huge issue. I remember, I feel like for a lot of the communities we have here in Belize, it's, I feel like mental health just also isn't really talked about, because, you know, as a boy, you're not supposed to really, like, show your feelings or really, like, get, express yourself in that way, because, you know, if you've got a father in the household, they could be like, don't do that, don't, boys don't cry, boys don't cry, yeah. What is that, you know? And for, like, a lot of women, it's just, like, if expressing their feelings comes off as, oh, you're being, like, annoying or something, like, no, this is me expressing my feelings. And I feel like that's kind of a lot of the culture that we've made for ourselves. And I think that because of that, like you mentioned just now, it becomes a stigma, which it really shouldn't be. It's just like a part of your, of who you are as a healthy person.
Correct. And you mentioned a really good point there where you said that boys, quote unquote, shouldn't cry, right? Mm. And that's a stigma towards men, right? Mm. It's like men shouldn't cry. It's normal for women to cry. But I think that's something that we need to be more realistic about, and also teach our young boys that crying is okay and that's normal. It's part of our emotions, and yep, it's really okay.
Yeah, it's really just an expression. Like if you get hurt on your arm, you say, ouch. Crying is just an expression of what you're feeling. Yeah, like any other like reaction you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Unfortunately, stigmatization and negative beliefs around mental health are common towards people who have mental health conditions, such as only insane people go and visit the psychologist and ask them for help, and others being depression in men is not real.
This is why we'll be discussing the importance of minimizing the social stigma and common examples that occur in our own communities.
Now, let's go ahead and remind our viewers that it is totally okay to seek and ask for help and to remember that you are not alone.
So we must ask ourselves, how common are mental illnesses?
So let me go ahead and share with you some worldwide statistics to get a better image of today's topic. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, nearly 1 billion people live with mental disorder. And another important statistic is, according to the World Health Organization once more, this is in mostly low-income countries, more than about 75% of people with mental disorders do not receive the adequate treatment.
Thank you for sharing that information. And what's also interesting is that in Latin America, we must acknowledge that there are many factors that play a big role in mental health, such as family, religion, and even the patriarchy system, which we discussed a little bit earlier, which impacts the individual's coping mechanism, acceptance, and interest in seeking these treatments.
Also because there is a lack of education, like people have gone generations, so much generations without being properly informed about mental health being and being just as important as your physical health as well. Mm-hmm.
Correct. And what's also interesting is that growing up, going to high school, like we always had a counselor. Mm-hmm. And I remember having discussion with this one woman. She comes to mind when I think about this. And she had said, I have a negative view of going to a counselor. And I asked her, like, what makes you say that? And she said, because when I went to a counselor, she said, my confidentiality was broken. And so these are also some of the things that play a role in why people don't go back or don't seek help, because it's like, I've had one negative experience and I don't want this to occur to me again, so I don't go back. While one instance doesn't define the entire population or the entire
experience that we have.
Correct. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I would definitely also recommend going to like a professional for sure. Somebody who, you know, wouldn't like, would keep your information confidential as well. But also, you know, it's also really important to find somebody who, you know, fits your needs, because I know there are different types of, professionals. There are like relationship counselors, there are marriage counselors as well, you know, there are like mental health officers for children and young kids. So definitely it's also an experience of seeing who you also work best with. I would definitely never say write off working on your mental health completely. I definitely think that if you're at a place where you think you really need to seek professional help, definitely do. Don't knock it off completely. Yeah,
and I think that's an excellent piece of advice for people who have experienced some like a negative experience before, right? It's like, don't give up. It's like that one experience might have occurred for you, but it's like also important to continue trying, because our mental health is so important, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we said, it's like a part of, it's a human right. It's a basic human mm-hmm. right that we should start implementing definitely. In our lives.
And then the same way, you know, you could say you go see different doctors, like maybe you say you don't feel confident in this doctor, so you go see the next one. You could always feel free to do the same with your mental health as well. I know that sometimes like the first doctor I visit doesn't always hit the mark with what's going on. So Do the same with your mental health. It's just as important. Looking ahead at mental health since 2021, we have been forced to deal with new pressures such as being confined in self-isolation due to the COVID-19 pandemic or experiencing economic hardships. I'm a very social, bubbly person, I think I'd say, and when COVID really just like shut everything down, and especially with school, I really felt that school aspect of it, because I just love, well, love is a huge word for school, but I definitely way much 100% prefer being in the classroom, and then also getting that all that stimulation by being around other people who are also doing the same stuff you're doing. Or like, I'm also just like a visual person as well. So when we were like sent into like online school, you know, that really took a toll on like my performance in school. And then also you're not really seeing your friends all that much, you know, and then you're all in like little boxes, you know, all day. It really like does, it really like, I think incapacitates a lot of your motivation, really. And it was just like, it's a really day in, day out cycle. Not the best experience, I'd say. And I feel like that really took a toll on so much other people, like little kids who are like meant to be out there having fun with all their friends, you know, out running about in like during recess time. They weren't able to do that for a really long time.
Yeah, and I agree with you, right? It's like we were so locked up and confined in our small areas where it was hard for us to not interact. And a lot of people gain their energy by interacting with others, right? It's like I need this in order for me to continue my livelihood, right? Also helpful for me, I remember like during the pandemic, like I also seeked like communities because I missed like being with others who taught the same things, who were interested in the same things that I was interested in. I remember during that time, I really like looked for communities online that would support me during that process, because I was like, I want to learn more, but there's nowhere to go. So how could I continue doing this without being able to be in person with others?
Definitely. Yeah. And then that's also a very interesting thing to bring up. It really taught us new ways to stay connected as well, which I think is really important. And it goes to show that really we're just like a very adaptable race, you know. And I think it's very also important to acknowledge that even with what was in place with us, like call it a wall of not being able to interact with each other, I think there are definitely still avenues for people to reach out to each other. Like I know that, you know, sometimes you might have relatives who are really far away, people who are like moving out of the house for the first time. You definitely remember, it's always a phone call could always help you feel better. You know, I remember, you know, calling up my mom if I'm ever like far away. I'm like, Mom, like, how are you? Like, I need to talk, you know, like just venting, you know, that makes like really improves your mood, you know, like reaching out is basically, there's always a way to reach out. And also takes a really strong individual to do that, you know, but definitely advice for, you know, all ages.
Correct. And I think that was a good point that you highlighted there, was is like reaching out to people even in our own inner circle, right? Whether that's friends, that's family, as long as we have somebody to talk to, somebody, a trusted source of like person, it allows us to be able to let go of what's happening to us, right? And to be able to speak about what's occurring in our lives. Azer, what this tells us is that many external factors exist in our daily lives which can have negative psychological effects affecting our coping mechanism, and sometimes we're not even aware about them.
Yeah, we must also recognize the need for human connection, with professionals recommending to first talk with our families, call a friend, and when symptoms become intense, you should consult a psychologist or coach.
The first thing that comes to mind, and I feel like a lot of young people experience this, is like breakups, relationships. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have friends and we have families in our lives where they might not like your significant other. So let's say you ended up breakup. They're glad that occurred for you, right? Because they didn't want you to be with them in the first place. However, that impacts you negatively because, one, you're going through emotions where you don't know how to fully deal with them, because, one, you're experiencing sadness. You're probably experiencing anger, frustration, hurt. You're losing somebody that has been so close to you. While on one hand, you might have, let's say, friends and family who might be happy that that's occurring, right? So like there's a conflict with your emotions and how you're feeling and how the people in your life are also feeling. And I feel like this is one of the best times to go to a therapist or a psychologist or a coach, depending on what you're really looking for. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like they come with professional skills to be able to guide you through this process, to be able to help you mend the wounds that you're currently dealing with. And I feel like we don't encourage this a lot in our communities. I think high school is one of the biggest places where we begin to learn about this, and it begins occurring in our lives more and more. And I feel like if we don't begin to deal with this at such a young age, it does not provide us with a good foundation when we become older as we continue to go out through life.
Something interesting that you said there was listing off like the different feelings you feel during a breakup. You mentioned anger, sadness, anxiety, maybe agony, hatred, you know. And I feel like when you're actually going through a breakup, all of that just culminates into one. And when you're going through a breakup, it's such an intense, like frustrating sort of everything. And you're feeling everything at once. And I feel like what you listed out just there, all these different feelings, is also a really amazing thing that lots of professionals are able to help you dissect, because lots of times you just feel like you feel terrible. Mm-hmm. And then the cool thing about actually going to actually see someone is they're to guide you with saying, okay, this is what I'm feeling. And then they're like, what are you like? Because, you know, anger and sadness could be different things. You could be obviously angered at something else and saddened about that something else. And the cool thing about seeing professionals is that they take you through these amazing exercises, mm-hmm. that really help you dissect each one of these emotions, because they're all really different things, but you're just feeling them all at once. And then I also love what you mentioned there with especially the conflict of interest, when your family's like, good, you're finally, you know, they're like so excited for you, but that's not what you're feeling, you know. So it's definitely important to bring in a professional so they could like really view it from like a bird's eye sort of kind of view, you know. And then also, it's also very important to not like villainize somebody, because then you could, by villainizing somebody, you also like really take that hate into your heart. Mm-hmm. And that's also something that's not really not helpful for you at all whatsoever. And then, of course, I definitely think that there are also larger situations as well where, you know, it's really important to get an outside perspective and get this professional help, because, you know, as much as we love family members, they might not have the best things to say or the most healthiest way to navigate what we might be going through.
As young people, these emotions are suppressed, and suppressing our emotions is not healthy for us, because it affects our bodies, it affects the way we show up in the world, the way we think, the way we talk. Our emotions get disrupted because we're not able to think clearly. We come from a space of like hurt. Mm-hmm. And it's also possible for humans to bring this hatred back into the world, because that's how we're feeling. We don't feel like our emotions are valid. And that's why it's so important to seek professional help to be able to guide us through this process of what we're experiencing.
What you mentioned there, it was really something important, like that hate you feel and taking it back out into the world, that's something that's really like, it opens up a way larger conversation as to like maybe like a lot of crimes we see in like our countries, you know, like maybe like, you know, hate crimes, you know, like you know, robberies or like shootouts, you know, like why you gotta think like, why would somebody do this, you know? Because it really must take like a lot of hate for somebody to go ahead and, you know, like hurt somebody else like the way that they do.
Yeah, and I think what's important to highlight about all this is like, we come into the world as loving beings, like our essence is loving. Mm-hmm. But the more we experience life, we experience things that we don't talk about and we suppress, and we keep going on through life with suppressed emotions that we never dealt with when we were younger. I want to emphasize how important it is to speak about our emotions, to talk about it, men and women, because we stigmatize, right? Going back to that, it's like we stigmatize men for having feelings, for having emotions. But if we don't allow our men to also speak about what they're experiencing, how could we live in a better society and in a better world where, because all these suppression emotions is occurring for them, things evolve and they're not evolving as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. And definitely, like you said, carrying all this with you like throughout your life, and then should you become a parent later on in the future, you're just also dumping all of this on your kids. Mm-hmm. As well, so you could see how all of this just through many generations, it's just something people grow up in, and it's really hurtful and sad to see that a lot of these kids are just growing up in these like hostile environments where they really should be just allowed to express themselves and be, you know, 100% and trusting with their family environment, you know.
What is important to recognize is that during the pandemic, it opened a lot of different avenues for us to experience professional help online, because it's not only in person that we could meet with these people. It's like we could meet with them via like Zoom calls or a phone call. And what is interesting too is like we are able to decide who we want to speak to, right? It's like we get to share our personal lives, our experiences of what's happening in our lives with these people. But what's important to know is like we have to build this trust with this person online, right? Mm-hmm. What comes to mind is like during the pandemic, when I talked about connecting people online, I found myself a coach. Like, I was very lost at that point in my life, and I figured, what could I do? How could I get supported? Mm-hmm. And I found somebody online to be able to help me through this process, right? And it's one of the biggest blessings in my life, because I was able to talk about things that I wouldn't normally talk about with anyone. Mm-hmm. And I want to offer to our viewers and to our listeners that it's possible for you to do this as well, right?
I kind of went through something similar through the pandemic, where just like a lot of stuff was going on and I was feeling really lost in life. And, you know, I felt like with what I was like carrying around with me, it was I had my grandfather in my life. But, you know, some, like we mentioned before, sometimes you don't really feel like opening up to your parents all that well. So what I did was I actually would call up my uncles who are up in the United States. So I'd give them calls on the daily. I'd annoy them with phone calls. Mm-hmm. So they were somebody I could have reached out to. And it's through like these telephone calls that they really got me through what I was going through, you know. So I think definitely we've got all these useful mediums, and of course they're obviously somebody, there are people who I trust and who I feel like I could open up and who could probably relate to what I was going through as well. So definitely it's amazing to see, it's amazing that we have these mediums at our disposal. So if you are able to like really reach out to somebody, definitely do, because like you mentioned, keeping stuff bottled up is never the best idea.
And going back to the concept of stigma, you know, it can lead to discrimination. Stigmatization can be done in a direct form, such as someone making negative remarks about your illness, or it can be unintentional, such as avoiding you because they assume that you could be unstable and act violently. What we could do is like create environments that could support these people in being able to get the help that they need to be able to become active members of our societies. I think a lot of times we just assume things and we really don't know what they've dealt with in their past to be able to get to that point to where they are.
Definitely, for sure. So regarding stigmatization, an article on Medical News Today on stigma around mental health divides it into three categories. The first one is a social stigma, which refers to the discrimination beliefs about mental health.
The second category would be self-stigma, which occurs when a person internalizes negative societal attitudes. And the third one is institutional stigma, which occurs in places just like the workplace that unintentionally or intentionally discriminate against those that suffer any mental health conditions.
This leads me to mention that there are ways or steps to cope with stigma, such as seeking counseling, educating yourself about the condition, and connecting with others who have mental illness, and can help you gain self-esteem and overcome any destructive self-judgment that you might have.
Thanks for sharing that. And moving on to something a little bit different is like a lot of our young generation spend a lot of time online, social media, Facebook, Instagram. And what's important to highlight is that, and not only that, like TV shows, and there's a lot of positive things out there that allow us to have a better understanding of mental health. Like I could think of a lot of different shows where they're starting to incorporate what mental health is and seeking counselors and seeking therapists and seeking coaches and seeing all of that, like they're highlighting that. And I think that is so important in our society today, because it's not putting a stigma on it. It's making it okay for people to know like, wow, like if they do that, I could probably do that too, right? And also like when I think about it, like on Instagram, there's a lot of like really good pages that talk about self-love, or really good therapists that have their pages that promote all these different things that could help you, right? Even if you don't work with them, it's like there are things online where we could research and find that could support us in our journeys.
I think it's really important to be able to see and acknowledge, listen, if this is, you know, because that's what a lot of people do. Like they look up to like these TV characters and go like, hey, this is something this character does. I should do it as well, you know? So I definitely love that it's being like becoming a more normal part of basically what is seen in media, really. And then also, I don't know if you've listened to Kendall Jenner's new podcast. I've heard that it's an amazing, I haven't listened to it yet, but I know it's like the hugest rave ever right now, because she talks a lot about mental health on there as well, which is pretty cool. Like somebody who millions of people like look up to, it's talking about something that is really important as well.
Her episode was one of my favorite episodes of all time, because she really talked about self-love, how she takes care of herself, how it's so important to really trust your intuition and trust what's happening with you, talking to your higher self. So she mentioned a lot of different concepts where we might not really be familiar with, but I felt like she really spoke about how important our mental health is and what she did to really overcome her journey of where she was. Because when we think about it, she's a celebrity, right? So she has a very different life than any of us really have. But her journey was like, she got so busy, it became overwhelming. So she really took time for her. So if anybody is watching this, I would recommend watching that episode with her. It's the podcast is Jay Shetty. And just find the episode with Kendall Jenner. You'll really learn about a lot about mental health and how she worked and overcame her own journey with that. And according to the article by UNICEF, in terms of negative effects, teens become easily exposed to bullying, rumor spreading, unrealistic views, and peer pressure, which some studies have even linked high levels of social media use with depression or anxiety.
The danger nowadays is that discrimination and stigma can come in the form of trends on platforms such as TikTok that encourage forms of bullying. So we must advise our families and friends to think twice about the trends we like and share, because it could cause damage to whoever is on the other side of the cell phone screen.
This is really saying that it's pretty much the same when we're on our screens, right? It could be 10 times more damaging, because it's like we read all these comments, it's like bullying, whatever sorts of different types of bullying, right? And words have a big impact in how we perceive our worlds and how we perceive our own selves because of what we're reading and listening to.
As we bring our discussion onto the resources that are available at the local level, I must mention the Psychiatrists Association of Guatemala. What is great about them is that they are a group of professionals in mental health seeking to share knowledge and experiences on the topic. They also have a social program that offers the population services at a very accessible cost.
For Belize, there's a really good online resource which is called Mind Health Connect. And they're a nonprofit organization who promote mental wellness and connect you with many different mental health resources and professionals who could facilitate these processes.
Yeah, it's a great website. I've used it before, and it was actually through Mind Health Connect that I was able to find a therapist that works great for me. So I definitely love that there's that resource. We must keep in mind that there is a high percentage of people facing challenges accessing these services.
What comes to mind is a strategy that is starting to pick up in the United States and some European countries, which consists of implementing more mobile clinics.
So I like what you just mentioned as facilitating access. It's just what we want, regardless of age, gender, socioeconomic, or ethnic background. Everyone should have access to these essential services.
Without mental health, there can be no true integral health, and inclusively for those individuals who have been diagnosed. And I truly believe that this conversation is a necessary starting point to recognizing it.
Yeah, you're right. And it's disappointing that mental health does not enjoy the same priority in terms of education and practice around the world. We must focus on possible solutions.
Yeah, and starting by educating ourselves and understanding that the life of a person with psychosocial disabilities does not or cannot only be solved with pills, but with a community-based approach. As mentioned before, there are many online resources that can be of help. We encourage you to seek help if you need it. Reach out to your local medical hospital and seek a referral to a psychologist if needed. And like we've mentioned, right, mental health is a human right. And talking about modern solutions today, coincidentally, we're recording this episode on World Suicide Prevention Day. So we really want to emphasize on how important it is to speak about what's going on in our lives, our emotions, and speak about it and find communities that support us in being able to have this dialogue. Because what occurs is that when we bottle up all these emotions, these things can occur, and it's the reality of what we're facing in our society.
Definitely. And definitely today is also just a day to take as a reminder to, like, listen, like, check up on your loved ones. And of course, if you are in you feel as if you're in a dark place, don't be afraid to also reach out for the help as well. And of course, today being a day where we acknowledge suicide prevention, don't be afraid to, like, maybe reshare some resources that you may know of in your community or any resources that you think somebody else might benefit from. Can you share more about this day with some of our curious listeners?
Yeah, of course. And this event, World Suicide Day, represents a global commitment to focus our attention on suicide prevention. The theme for this year is Creating Hope Through Action, which reflects the need for collective action to address this urgent public health issue.
And what do you think would be one of the objectives?
From my understanding, objectives include promoting stakeholders' collaboration and self-empowerment to address self-harm and suicide through preventative actions. These can be achieved through capacity building of healthcare providers and other relevant actors, positive and informative messages aimed at the general population and at-risk groups such as young people, and facilitating open discussions on mental health at home, at school, and in the workplace.
Yes, definitely agree. Breaking the stigma is one of the most urgent challenges in our communities. Through psychoeducation, which refers to the term that is simply the way in which mental health professionals teach people about their mental health conditions and disorders.
Yeah, and this can be done by joining a support group or even starting your own in your community. There are plenty of internet resources that can be of assistance, but of course, it would be ideal to get help from our local organization to create a more established program.
Yeah, and having knowledge of the causes, symptoms, and the treatments is key if we want to change our perspective on the topic by knowing you are not the only one that has had so much of these experiences.
And I believe that this podcast episode is a very good start to bringing people to the awareness that we have the resources in both our communities in Belize and in Guatemala, that people are able to seek out these things, right? And to have them realize that you are not the only one who is experiencing whatever it is that you are experiencing. Like you mentioned earlier, it's like being vulnerable, talking about these things allows us to connect with others and allows us to see that there is help and we can get the help that is needed.
Definitely. I totally agree. And like we mentioned before, connection is definitely like a powerful tool. And like just mentioned, you are not alone in any of these experiences. So as we reach the end of today's episode, as always, we hope that you learned something new and that this information gives us hope.
Ending this episode today has me thinking and exploring of like, what are the different ways that I could continue empowering our members of our community to be vulnerable, to speak about what's happening in their lives, and how could I continue supporting them? And I also want our viewers to also consider that and think about who is one person in your life that you could give a call today, that you could help, that you could support. There, it could be the tiniest of action that could make the biggest impact on someone's lives. And we would like to thank the Spanish Agency for International Development Corporation and the Organization of American States for the space of dialogue between the youths of Belize and Guatemala.
And thank you once again to our lovely audience for tuning in today. Of course, like Hannah mentioned, definitely do an act of kindness today for yourself and for someone else. And along with that, we'd also like you to invite you to follow us on Twitter at our Twitter handle at @OEA_BelizeGuate.
We invite you to share another topic that you would like us to cover in our next episode. Stay tuned for more. Subscribe to receive notifications about our next episode of the Zone podcast. Goodbye.
Goodbye.